Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by just say your name and your role with the show.
Hello, Jamal Fields Green, and I play MJ in MJ the Musical.
Yes, coming to the National Theater, Broadway at the National, now through September 8th here in DC. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right. Now, our listeners will recognize the name of the show because we've interviewed, gosh, probably like three times. So we interviewed Miles Frost, you know, who originated on Broadway because he's from this area. So
yeah.
I guess I should ask, do you have any local ties as well? Or where do you hail from?
I do not. I hail from New York, New York.
Nice. All right. So wait, what part? What part?
I was born in the Bronx, so originally I'm the Bronx. Then I moved to Rockland County when I was 10, so I spent about a significant amount of time and a little bit of both. So I claim both.
Gotcha. So did you that inspires this next question? Then did you make your way down then to Broadway a lot growing up, and did you go see MJ the Musical on Broadway?
So as a kid, the first show that I saw, yes, I guess you could say so. Yeah. The first show I saw, of course, was Lion King.
I mean, of course.
Which is, I mean, of course, right?
Why not?
And yeah, I saw MJ on Broadway. Funny enough, I saw it, I think maybe 2-3 months before they won the Tonys. And while I saw it, I just saw it, as a theater patron. And during intermission was when I got my email from my agent for future replacements of MJ.
Wait, really?
Wow.
So you're in intermission. Are you in the theater or in the lobby,
I'm,
in the bathroom?
I'm,
When do you get the alert and you're like, holy crap, I get to do this?
I was literally sitting, I'm in the theater. I'm sitting in my seat. And I just was checking, as actors do, we check our emails almost all the time. So I'm just checking through my emails, and literally as I'm sitting there, it just said future replacements for MJ while I was sitting there.
So is your paint a picture? Is your phone is your little? It's literally like sitting on your playbill as you're reading.
Yeah, literally, and in that moment, I was like, "All right, well, I guess I'm studying for the rest of the show."
All right, so I think this is hilarious, and I'm gonna do two radio pieces. So forgive the redundancy of the question, but it doesn't matter if we repeat this a little bit because I'm doing two pieces. So
no worries.
So just to clarify, you are watching the first act as a fan and just a regular
yep.
Broadway theater goer, admirer of the craft overall, and then you get the alert and intermission, and then the second half of the show is all right, and I'm taking notes because now I'm gonna get to do the role. So explain that a little more, how your it shifted from first half of the show to the second.
Yeah, so like the first half, I'm there, I'm hearing, I grew up a Michael Jackson fan like everybody else did, so I was like, all right, I'm hoping this is good, I'm hoping they do him justice. I'm going there hoping that it's going to be a great show. And then, first act, I was like, all right, cool. This is a great show. And then just like I'm there just to enjoy the show, and then intermission going to second act, I get the email and it says future replacements of MJ. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm no longer just here to enjoy. I'm actually here to study. So, and that was, it was just crazy, man. Like, you can't really make that type of stuff up.
So what sort of notes did you start taking from the role, or from either Miles doing the role or
yeah,
just Michael Jackson in general? I mean, there's plenty to work with in terms of the look and the dance moves and the voice and everything. So yeah, what sort
no,
of stuff did you hone in on?
Of course, for me it was the voice. With getting this role and everything, for me the biggest thing with this role is making sure that I portray MJ as authentically as possible in my own way, because with this, we're not playing a character that was built, from the ground up or out of thin air. This is someone that lived and walked and breathed on this earth. This, while we do the show, we're carrying someone's legacy in our hands for about 2.5 hours. So with that, it comes a big responsibility. And with that responsibility, you owe it to said person's legacy or memory to just portray them as authentically as possible. So that was the biggest thing, was like, I gotta make sure I portray him as authentically as possible, and it doesn't come off like I'm impersonating him, but rather so paying homage, And of course, I mean, I was like, I also gotta get these dance moves down. This is crazy. It's a lot of dancing.
So you do moonwalk across the stage.
Yes, I do indeed moonwalk across the stage.
Nice, nice. Well, of course you have to.
You have to.
Awesome.
How could you not?
Awesome. Awesome. So remind us the basic premise of the actual show. Like, it, you know, the you don't have to do a whole plot summary, but in general, when it's set, when during his life it rolls out.
Yep. It's 1992. It is the second to last day of the Dangerous Tour rehearsal. MTV comes into the building, and through their interview with MJ, we basically go through his entire life from the Jackson 5 all the way to present day 1992.
Awesome. Awesome. And so is there like a bunch of flashbacks to his childhood and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Flashbacks to his childhood, flashbacks to the Jackson 5, flashbacks to his time as a teenager, and then his transition out of the Jackson 5, and then even flashbacks to the Off the Wall, a little bit of the Off the Wall era, and the Thriller era, Thriller slash Victory Tour era.
Nice. Now, does the show, obviously it's a celebration of Michael, but does it tackle any of the controversies in his life, or is it mostly a celebration?
I would say what I like about the show is that it is very real. You know, it is a celebration. But it definitely, I mean, when you see it, you'll see, like, we touch on you get to see the human being behind the icon.
Right.
You know, exactly. you get to see the human being behind the icon. So when you see the show, it's definitely going to be some elements in there where it's like, okay, you know, without giving anything away. But we definitely, it's grounded in realism for sure.
Gotcha. Yeah, that guy had a rough childhood for sure. But superstardom at a young age, you know what I mean? But became one of the biggest stars. Maybe would you say the biggest star? I mean, people throw out Elvis, there's big names, but I mean, to me, Michael Jackson's probably the biggest global icon we've ever had in music.
You know, I constantly go back and forth between saying one of the biggest to the biggest.
Right.
It's very close. If it's not the biggest, it's very, very close. I mean, you know, he really was something special, and he really was a powerhouse, man. I don't know. I mean, studying him, and I still study to this day, but studying him, he was an alien.
He really was an alien.
Like, we will never get another person like that in our lifetime, at least. I mean, his attention to detail, the way that he studied other people and made it his own, the stuff that he was doing on stage vocally and also physically is just crazy. It's like I can give myself some credit, but I'm only doing a fraction of what he was, you know? With this, it's like you're chasing, it's like a ceiling, and you're constantly, you know, you're trying to get to that ceiling, and the better you get, you know, you may reach the ceiling, but once you reach the ceiling, you'll look up and the bar is risen again, you know, and it constantly rises, and it's something that you're never going to catch. And that's a good thing, because, you know, even though you're not going to catch it, the more you chase it, the better you're going to be, the better it'll make you.
Right.
But the reality is, you know, you may not catch it because he was just that great. So I would go on record and say that, I think he might be the biggest or best of all time, because you know what, we're talking about the full package in terms of entertaining and star quality. I mean, he had it, the dance moves, the singing, the music that's catchy to this day that kids younger than us listen to, you know, the amount of kids that come to this show dressed up in MJ stuff, and I'm like, you guys weren't even around when he was around, I think.
Exactly. It's just iconic and down through the generations. Speaking of which, that's a great segue. Remind us some of the, it kind of goes without saying, but it's going to give me a sound bite. Remind us some of the huge musical numbers, you know, based on his time, his iconic hits. You know, what are some of the great songs that we love or that we're going to hear?
Of course, you're going to hear Smooth Criminal, which is probably my favorite number in the show. There's a whole section that goes into it with his dance inspirations. And they're on stage as well. And it feels like musical theater in a way. You got a little bit of tap, a little bit of jazz mixed with some, you know, ballet and stuff. And then we go into Smooth Criminal, which is this powerhouse of a song, powerhouse of a dance number. So I just love it for that. I mean, the lighting of the show is impeccable. The staging of the show is also crazy. The lights are going crazy during this moment. So that's also one of the reasons, like all the elements of theater kind of all come together for the entire show, but really in this moment of Smooth especially.
Yeah.
Which is why I love that that number. I mean, we start the show off with Beat It, which is a way to start any type of show.
Hell yeah.
So Beat It, I mean, and it's just awesome. Like, it's kind of just like a great adrenaline rush, a great adrenaline starter. Billie Jean starts out Act Two. I'll leave it at that because it's Billie Jean. You know, what else can you say about Billie Jean? You know, it's Billie Jean.
Is that I mean, that's where we get the hat, the sparkling glove, the spin up onto the toes, the moonwalk. That is all the iconic stuff from like Motown 25 and all that stuff, right?
It's the whole nine. It's the whole nine. You know, let me see. What else?
It really is an endless number of hits. It's ridiculous how many he had.
It is. I don't envy the creative team having the decision to pick which songs were to be used and what songs weren't to be used, because there's so many hits that you can choose from. Like, you're gonna miss some great ones, you know.
Yeah, and you get some Jackson 5 songs too, right?
Oh yeah, we have I Want You Back. What is it? What's the other one? I'm trying to think.
ABC probably. I'll Be There.
Oh, definitely ABC. Definitely ABC. We have, is this, which one? Stop and Love You Save.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, we have a few. Dance Machine, of course. What's the other one? Blame It on the Boogie. Yeah, we have, if you're an MJ fan, you're going to get your fill. You're going to get your fill. You're definitely going to get your fill. And if you're not, I can't see why you wouldn't leave one after seeing the show.
Nice. And there's, in addition to the big fun ones, and there's also some really introspective ones too, right? Like for every Thriller and Beat It and all of those big ones, you also get like Man in the Mirror and, you know, Earth Song, and you know what I mean? There's some serious stuff too.
We have Earth Song as well. We have a nice spin on I'll Be There.
Nice.
That's very sentimental. And a lot of all, what's really cool is that all the songs are in a way like they're woven into the story, you know? So it's not like we're just jumping out and just doing a number and being like, hey, remember this one? It's like part of, it's like, it's theater. It's pushing the story forward, you know? Which is pretty cool to me. You know, I think that's pretty hard to do sometimes.
You're not just going to a concert of MJ songs. It's a jukebox musical for a reason, because you get the songs, but it's all woven into the storyline. So
it is, and the book is so well written. Lynn Nod did her thing writing this story. You know, for me personally, I'm not really big on jukebox musicals. You know, I'll go and see them, but I'm not really big on them. But this one, the story kind of separates this for me from other ones, because the story is so strong. It's so, so strong. Like the book that Lynn Nottage wrote,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure I sound biased, but I promise you I'm not.
Well, Lynn Nottage, I mean, I think she won the Pulitzer Prize for drama a couple times, Ruined and Sweat.
Yep.
And so you have a legit playwright stringing together the book in between these songs, folks. So,
No, she's no joke.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the show itself overall, I think, got 10 Tony nominations, including Best Musical. It won for Best Actor for Miles Frost, like we mentioned. Best Choreography, Lighting Design, Sound Design. So this is like the broad, more or less like the Broadway production, but taken on the road, right?
Literally, just it's the Broadway production put on, like, literally thrown on the road.
Nice. And is it still on Broadway as well?
Yes, still on Broadway.
Gotcha. So you all, they're doing their thing up there, and you guys are taking it around the country for folks to see. That's great.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, I have more than enough to work with, I guess, sort of in closing. Just pretend I'm not here, and like you're talking directly to our listeners. Just, you know, like, hey, DC, come on out to National Theater. You don't want to miss it. Whatever you want to say.
Yep. No, sounds good. Okay. Hey, DC, this is Jamal Fields Green. I play MJ in MJ the Musical. Make sure you come out to the National Theater and see us. It's a show that you don't want to miss. Come join the party, I promise. You won't regret it.
Absolutely. Again, it is now through September 8th. MJ the Musical at National Theater. You will be moonwalking all the way home on a high after this. Hey, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Be well. See ya.
All right. You too.